I think it's very fascinating this evening as we come to worship Christ, how similar his incarnation and birth are to his resurrection. In one very beautiful way, after Christ's resurrection, he was only seen and touched and worshiped by loving people. He was only seen by loving eyes, touched by loving hands, worshiped by believing hearts. That's how it was at his birth also. The only ones who got to see him in that incredible moment, at his incarnation, at his coming to be God in human flesh, the only ones that got to be there and to worship, believed and loved him. You see, the religious leaders, the theologians of the day, didn't believe. They were fools. Herod believed. He wouldn't obey. He was a madman. But the simple shepherds, the majestic magi, believed. And God rewarded their belief, reckoning it, counting it to them for righteousness, but rewarding them with the privilege of seeing, of touching, of worshiping him. I hope that tonight that you will follow in their train, that we together who have come tonight because we believe will actually worship him through this communion. I'm going to be in several scriptures. I'll read them. You don't have to try and follow them along in the dark. Tonight we believe God's word. That's why we've come to worship him. And so, remembering how they came, let me encourage you. First, they came to Christ themselves. They didn't just let surrogates do the worshiping. We've already had wonderful saints leading us in worship. But now's the time we come ourselves to him. And we come to Jesus in prayer, in worship, in adoration. And as they did, we sacrifice to come here. They sacrificed their time. They sacrificed their schedules. They sacrificed their resources. They left behind so much. But when they got there, they received far more than they left behind. I hope that you come tonight yourself, and I hope that you sacrifice and lay aside anything that will withhold the absolute offering tonight of your undivided, unfettered worship to Jesus Christ for what he's done for each of us. They wanted to present to him what they had. You remember the shepherds had nothing. They just gave their praise. The magi gave what they had as rich rulers. All God wants from us tonight is for us to give him what we have, to give him the devotion, the adoration, the worship from our hearts. Personally worship him more than coming and giving, the greatest moment of all. They came, they bowed, and they offered their treasure just to him. Through this communion, I hope that more than singing that song, more than enjoying the pretty candlelight and all the decorations, I hope that you will from your heart say, Jesus, I give these words to you. Jesus, I give my adoration and my praise to you alone. There's a stanza to a great hymn that isn't in the hymn book. They don't print all the stanzas. You know the great Christmas hymn, O Holy Night? Let me read to you the part that's never in the hymn books. You know the part, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining, that stanza. But listen to the other stanzas, because that's what we need to be doing tonight. The second stanza actually in the hymn as written is, with humble hearts we bow in adoration before this child, gift of God's matchless love, sent from on high to purchase our salvation, that we might dwell with him ever above. What grace untold to leave the bliss of glory, and die for sinners, guilty and forlorn. Fall on your knees. Repeat the wondrous story. This evening, as we sat around our Christmas Eve dinner, I asked each of the children to repeat part of the Christmas story for them, why they adore Christ for coming. And Bonnie and I began, each one of us, expressing one element of why we're glad that he came. As the hymn says, repeating the wondrous story. Here's the next stanza. O day of joy, when in eternal splendor he shall return in his glory to reign. When every tongue due praise to him shall render, his power and might to all nations proclaim. A thrill of hope our longing hearts rejoice, for soon shall dawn that glad eternal morn. Fall on your knees. With joy lift up your voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night divine, O night divine. Let us join those simple shepherds, the majestic magi, and let's adore Christ because we see him, because we believe. We worship him because we have loving hearts. We see him because we have loving eyes. We reach out and touch him this evening because we have loving hands, because we love him. Let's behold and adore your hands of love, O Christ. Have you pondered the hands of Jesus this evening? Those stars knew his hands. Remember, I was telling the children tonight that it was at night. And remember how God looks at time. God begins the day in the evening and the morning. The evening comes first and the morning's the second half. So the beginning of Christmas was that night, that evening as the stars looked down. And as they looked down, they knew those hands, because as they looked down, Jesus being greeted by worshipers the night of his birth, as he lay under the blazing canopy of stars that glistened like a tapestry of brilliant diamonds, quietly reflecting God's glory, each of those stars knew the God who named them. Each of those stars knew the hands that flung them into space, the universe that was unrolled, Isaiah said, like a tent by the Creator. Those stars knew his hands, for Colossians tells us he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. And Psalm 147 tells us he counts the number of the stars, for he calls them each by name. The stars knew his hands. The mountains and hills knew those hands of his. The hills the shepherds and wise men crossed were made by him. And now those tiny and soft hands are still, but the hills and the mountains have been brought forth and formed by his hands. Psalm 90 tells us, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So the stars knew his hands. The mountains and the hills knew his hands. Even the bodies of the shepherds and the wise men knew those hands. For long before this night, the hands of Jesus had scooped up handfuls of Eden's dust, shaping it into the highest of all earth's creatures. And then those same hands embraced that dirt, and kissing that lifeless shell with the breath of life, brought forth Adam, and breathed into him the breath of life. Those hands are now still in the folds of swaddling clothes, but those hands were busy once. Busy creating humanity. And those hands were the hands of the Creator. It says in Genesis 2:7, the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living spirit. We need to worship our Savior this evening. Remember those hands that touch lepers with a touch of acceptance, love, and healing. Those hands are extended to each of us this evening. And we should offer to Him our worship. To the one who loved us and gave His hands to be crucified for us. I invite you to repeat these words of a prayer to Him. Repeat them right after me. I worship you, my forgiving Lamb. You came to me in the pit of my sin and rescued me. Those words you've just offered as a fragrant aroma to Christ from your heart. Remember those hands that gave sight to the blind and sightless eyes are now extended toward each of us here this evening. Remember what Christ did when He saved us. Again, repeat after me, I worship you, my sight-giving Savior. You opened my eyes that I may see you. I love you, Lord. And I worship you, Lord Jesus. Remember those hands that touched the cold and lifeless corpses and brought them to life have been extended toward each of us here this evening, giving us salvation and life. Pray to Him with me. I worship you, my life-giving Redeemer. You touched my lifeless heart. Quickened me by your grace so I could become your son and daughter. Let us behold and adore His face of glory. Ponder the face of baby Jesus tonight. As those shepherds so simple, as those magi so majestic looked on baby Jesus, they looked upon a face that was older than the universe. The scriptures tell us as they gazed upon that sleeping baby's face, they looked at the one that countless angels adored, the one that all creation worships, and the one that someday all the earth will dread. Daniel tells us, and the Ancient of Days was seated, his garments were as white as snow, the hair of his head was like pure wool, his throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands of thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That sweet face, resting close to the warmth of his mother, would soon know the dirt and the dusty hillsides of Galilee and the sweat of tirelessly crossing them. That face would feel the adoring gazes of the grateful ones that were healed and fed. That face, now sleeping so silently, would be pierced by the deceitful looks of betrayers, by the hateful eyes of enemies. That face would reflect the looks of wonder from worshiping disciples. But most of all, the Heavenly Father, who always was the object of Christ's devotion, would see that face turned upward in prayer and love. Tonight, let us worship Him, the face that would soon be marred. His face was savaged by sinners, for Isaiah tells us, we were astonished at you. Your visage was marred more than any man. His face was streaked by tears as he saw the destiny of his rejectors. As Jesus wept and said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I wanted to gather your children together, but you would not. That face will blaze with glory. That baby was and always is the Lord of glory. Revelation 1, 14 through 18 tells us that his head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. I hope this evening that you worship the hands that reach out to you, that you worship the face of the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Let's bow before him in prayer. And as I pray, I invite the elders and deacons to go to the back and to prepare to serve us the Lord's Supper. Father in heaven, we bow before you in our hearts tonight, adoring, magnifying. Our voices have already said to you, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for quickening us. Thank you for giving us your life, opening our sightless eyes, touching us with life anew. Tonight we ask for you to inhabit our worship. From this moment, as we soon will hold that picture of your body, to that last moment, as with a light held up, we worship you, a worthy Lamb. May you dwell, be pleased with, and receive from us acceptable offerings of worship. Thank you for the bread. Bless us as we worship you through it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The words of that hymn were a petition. O come, O come, Emmanuel. I think we should respond by agreeing with that and saying amen. Amen. Hold that bread out with me and repeat the words of Jesus after me. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. Thank you for coming, our Emmanuel. Bless us as we now have the sacred privilege of holding the cup of blessing, the cup of your life poured out, the cup that reminds us that the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus, we offer our thanks. Amen. As the men pass the cup among us, we're going to be singing to the Lord of his coming. You left your throne and your crown to come, to get dusty and dirty, and to die for us. As you hold that cup, I want you to listen to four verses and respond to each of them before we partake. His feet we worship tonight, at which we all shall stand. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one will receive the things done in his body according to whether it be good or bad. Let's stand before him right now. Would you stand carefully with that cup in your hand? Secondly, his feet at which we shall all bow. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Bow your heart before him right now and think of that day you will stand bowing before him. Thirdly, his feet at which we all shall pray. Revelation 5 says, and when they had taken the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one had a harp and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Lift a prayer before him right now as you hold this cup, thanking him for his salvation. And finally, that feet at which we shall all stand to sing. It says in Revelation 15, and they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the ages. Repeat after me Christ's word. This cup is the new covenant, which is in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. Lord Jesus, receive from us this offering, this evening overflowing of grateful joy for being our salvation and hope and joy and peace and completion. We worship you, O Lamb of God. Get your candle and get it ready. We're all going to stand with our candles and in a moment start the lighting process. We're going to get it as dark as we can get it in here. There's just going to be the light of a hymn up here that we're going to be singing forever. And as the men come, they're going to light their candle from our celebration of the fifth candle of Advent. And then they're going to go and start lighting down the rows. And what I'd like you to do is, when we start this process, we're going to start singing Worthy is the Lamb down here. Okay? You know, Worthy is the Lamb. Not at that key, but at that lowness of a voice. And as your candle gets lit, I want you to sing with your full voice. And so what will happen is the brighter it gets in this room, the louder our worship to the Lord will be until the last one is lit. And we're going to, with our remembrances of Christ, the light of glory and the light of the world, we're going to sing, Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Let's start lighting and let's start singing to Him. Father, we hold before you these lights, remembering that you have come to light our sin-darkened hearts. We who sat in the darkness and in the shadow of death, your light has dawned. May we, as the little sign-carrying man walking down 71st Street reminded us again today, remember Jesus tonight, tomorrow, and throughout every day until you come or call. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's saints said, Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed Christmas.